Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Welcome back to The Big Interview. It's Graham. Well, it's Graham and Pep. No. Not that Pep. Well, not this time. This, in fact, is part two. Following on from part one, we thought we'd name it that way. Numerically, it made sense. Part two of the interview with Pep Lijnders, assistant to Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, and a serious brain behind the fascinating development of that team in its football, in its personality, but most of all, in its daily work. Liverpool have been driven by this brilliant German, but his Dutch assistant was actually forged in Portugal as a very young coach. It's a remarkable tale about how he got there, why he got there, and what he did there. In this podcast interview, you'll hear about how Porto influenced Pep Lijnders to the point where that connection gave them a key part of their preparation for the 2019 Champions League final. You didn't know what part a Portuguese side played in Liverpool winning the Champions League? Well, you will after this. And Pep's background in youth football, well, I don't think we've heard a more passionate or convincing advocate of elite clubs prioritising their academies. I've been told to tell you by my producers that this is a serious football conversation. I'm in it, so it's not 100% serious. There's a little bit of fun here and there, and there's a lot about paddle. What do you mean you've never played paddle? You'll want to after this. Do enjoy The Big Interview with Pep Lijnders. I don't know if you remember, maybe you do, when you left to go to Nijmegen, the gaffer wrote in his notes, it's impossible to overstate the role that Pep played in helping us settle, educating us about football life. And that theme about changing culture, changing country, I want to come back to, Jurgen, and arriving from Dortmund to Liverpool. But you did it when you were very, very young. And even though your experience was high quality, you were relatively inexperienced. Was it dead simple moving from Eindhoven to Porto? Different culture, different language, different ideas, different passion, north-south.
Yeah, shock. Shock. Football culture shock. But the impact Porto, football club de Porto, and Porto the city made on me, the people, the club, the structure, the fans, but I speak with great responsibility if I speak about them, and Porto will forever be with me. The ideas, because 7 years is a long time as a foreigner in a South European club. Everybody knows that normally this lasts 2 or 3 years. If you go to South Europe, I worked 7 years at Porto with so many passionate coaches, so many unbelievable young players. They approached me from PSV Eindhoven. It was not the same language, but we understood each other, and that was probably the biggest reason why we could work that long together. I started there. I did 3 sessions a day. Between the morning and the afternoon session, I had 3 hours Portuguese lesson to learn, because I really felt that I need to learn the culture before I can teach, because they need, I can teach, but they have to understand, and I can only teach when I understand what they understand and how they understand. So I really try to absorb like the culture, the people, the reasons why they are doing what they are doing, because it's a club with high values, with real humbleness. And Pinto da Costa, he built like an institute of winners, a winning culture. And if you know how Benfica and Porto, how they grew up, I mean, over the last 60, 70 years, it says really good example, Pinto da Costa. We love the ones who hate to lose. That's the main thing of Porto. And we fight against everything and against everyone. That would be the second sense would come into my mind if I talk about Porto. And the raza, the inner drive of the players, of all the people, that's something I never witnessed before because I come from Holland. But it was something truly what I said. It will stay forever with me. And some clubs, they are in the game, but Porto, to play the game, but Porto is there to win prizes, silverware. That's the reason why they exist and why they play in all different sports they are doing. Yeah? So, but the sessions were unbelievable. I started with like in the afternoon with the under-19s, in the morning with the under-19s, in the afternoon with the under-14s, under-15s, in the evening with the under-12s, 11, 10, 9, 8, like the youngest kids. And the only goal I had above like this collective idea of tactical periodization, because Porto is tactical periodization, was like create offensive aggression with the players. So that in each situation they could handle themselves with the ball, that when they were 1-1 they could like go past the player, like proper skill. And so the only idea we had was create to score. That was like from the first minute of session to the last minute of session, above, on top of like the collective idea we had, because the biggest individual development comes from the collective idea. So the way you play as a team, that creates the biggest individual development. We wanted to create like a new generation there who represent their culture, but on top like have this attacking mentality, this guts, this ambition, and a high level of technique. I was 24 when I left Holland. I worked 5 years at PSV, so a beginning coach, a young coach.
But time out there, but because I like detail. You're 24. It's not easy to see into Eindhoven's academy for a foreign club to see. And your interview, okay, they can speak English, you can speak English. But how do you convince Porto? How do Porto turn their attention to a 24-year-old Dutchman in the Eindhoven academy? What? How?
The power of the image. I will explain later, but it's the power of the image. But so they had like a project called Project 611. Antero Henrique with Pinto da Costa, they wanted to restructure the academy, the first team, and the scouting department. These three became like the main objective in the structure of Porto. Scouting, academy, and how they were connected. So Coadrians, like a disciple of Cruyff in the way he played. He was a very offensive coach. He was the coach of Porto before I came. He left the club in the beginning of the season, but they wanted to continue with the Dutch. I don't make the Dutch bigger than it is, so really not like that, but they wanted to continue with like the coach, the offensive coaching, the drilling, the freedom. They called But the goalkeeping coach, Will Court, stayed at Porto when Quadrians left. So they started speaking, we need somebody for the academy who can represent this culture, a young coach, ambitious, who can we can help as well, because Porto, they have a proper idea about football, proper idea about training, one of the best in world football. It's called tactical periodization. It's Vitor Frade. So, but they wanted to add something to this project 6-11, between 2006 and 2011. And in 2000, Luis Castro, who's now the coach of Shakhtar Donetsk, he was the academy director, and he wanted to add this, exactly what I tried to explain just before. So he called Frans Hoek.
Ah, the goalkeeper trainer from Van Gaal.
Assistant Van Gaal, yeah. The 95 team. And he said, I have to take the young coach from PSV Eindhoven. He goes with me to United States always, and he's responsible for exactly what you're searching for, like this offensive approach. Okay, it stayed. And then they called somebody else, Edmund Klaus. And Edmund Klaus said, hey, you have to take the young coach from PSV Eindhoven. And then they start like, okay. So I went there, and of course, nothing was clear. And I was sad. The people in front of me in the table, it took me 2 days to arrive there anyway. We stayed over, go there. Big thing for 24 years old, going to the stadium of Porto to speak with the people who wanted to hire you. I felt I was ready to leave Holland, but I wanted something, everything what I learned there, to put it in place in a different... But anyway, so I sit on the table, Urgel Martins, Luis Castro, Vitor Fraat, sitting there and explaining the ideas. But with my agent in that time, our agent, he helped me to the deal, he translate. So I was only sitting there, like, when they start explaining, okay, yeah, top. And this is what I think on top, like, and he translate, and they were like, yeah, yeah, exactly, that's what we need. So I show images of what we're doing, like that. Yeah, it was an instant click with Luis Castro. It was an instant click with Vitor Fraat. And they really, they are two really important people in my life. And you meet many people in your life, and some are really lucky to meet, example, Cruyff. But I met Vitor Fraat and Luis Castro at that moment in time, and they showed faith in a 24-year-old Dutch guy who was from PSV Eindhoven, not from Real Madrid or from... and they gave a trust, faith to lead the project with them. So we three became like... Vitor Fraat was head of methodology. Luis Castro was like the academy director. Yeah, of course, Antero and Rick above, but yeah. And we created like this idea and these training sessions. So it was... I have to explain one thing to make it hopefully clear. Because of Porto. Porto's scouting system is one of the best in the world. They attract the best players in the world. The problem with if you have a super scouting system is that the academy cannot stay behind.
This is what I was going to say. You were in the most difficult place. Liverpool and Porto now are comparable in their brilliance about who to sign, why, when to sell, how to keep that going, and to do it year after year. But if you're in the academy then, how do you get the flowers to come through when the clever people in the other part of the department are buying a Brazilian right back or are buying a Colombian forward? It's a great climate, but it's massively difficult.
You have to... the idea was create a new generation. So you can only... I really believe that if you do it right in the academy, you have to start very young and with the right ideas, collectively and individually. So, but at one moment in time, the head coach at Porto is under huge pressure. If you lose away from Benfica, you're already... Or at home from Benfica, you're already in the... even if you're top of the league, or if you go out of Champions League in the group, you're... So the coach will always pick the best player, the best 11, the best team, from his idea to that. So,
because he has to think about his own position.
Yeah,
his own
exactly. City. So yeah. The idea was, okay, we have this winning culture, but we need to develop players who have this attacking mentality, because this Brazilian who's 10 years old and is doing from the age of 16 playing already up and have this 20 initiatives in the game to outplay, to score, to shoot, he gets this impulse constantly because everything turns around. We have to take that type of game to Porto with all the things we already do, because the structure of training with that, but we have to create like So we accelerate this process of attacking mentality, of counter-pressing, of pressing, of being on the opposition half. So all these things we implemented. And we tried to create like a new generation. From 13 down, everybody knows it's the age of magic. So if you stimulate there a creative idea and really do the right things in terms of to give them freedom and at the same time principles, etc., but not important, but players will adapt and will so in the end we created a new generation. If you look now, the players who came through, it's unbelievable. Fabio Silva, André Silva, Gonzalo Paciencia, Ruben Neves, João Félix was, André Gomes from Fabio Vieira now, Bruno Costa, Diogo Leite, Diogo Kroos. They can put a team together now with that generation who came through. They can put like 11, and they have like the Mística of Porto, because they all had that. They had like this God's ambition, and on top of that they have like a really high level of technique. And so we knew that we have to accelerate this process. That was really important, and we tried to do that by this project 611, by the things we do. And for 7 years it was like a very successful period, because we became 5 times champions, so we could work with calmness, because the first team was winning, so it was not like this pressure of. So that was really important, otherwise it would never have lasted 7 years. Because if the first team was not winning, everybody is at fault, eh? Even the under-9 coach. So that's the type of club. And that's all good.
Yes, we believe in biodiversity. It's from the makers of The Big Interview, and it's called Between the Lines, the stories behind great sports writing. Every episode takes a classic sports book or outstanding piece of sports writing and examines how the writer crafted their story. This is a weekly show, and the series so far has featured documentaries on The Miracle of Castel di Sangro and Andrea Pirlo's autobiography, I Think, Therefore I Play. There's also interviews with writers like Henry Winter, Simon Cooper, Andy Mitten, and David Goldblatt. Here's David Winner on his legendary, scintillating book, Brilliant Orange.
The book chimed perfectly with what the Dutch did in Euro 2000. They played the book almost, exactly as I described. They played, and then they tragically, ridiculously, disastrously, unbearably lost in the semi-final, this crazy game. And one of the big newspapers in Holland, the NRC Handelsblad, had a big page, like a whole front page of their review section the day after the Italy game. And it was all, you know, David Winner predicted this. And then years later, I discovered that they had two versions. The other one, if Holland had won that game, it said David Winner's got it completely wrong. He doesn't understand anything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that subject, I wanted to ask you about welcoming the boss and helping him to fit in. But on that subject, I have to go to the game against Midtjylland. Never mind the scoreline. In that team, Kevin Kelleher, who came into prominence exactly maybe 8-9 months after you came to Liverpool. So you and Kelleher have been working together from almost day one. Reece Williams is a similar story. Trent Alexander-Arnold, you were still working academy when he was playing the three, the diamond in front of the three. Fabinho, you helped teach and welcome in because of your Portuguese culture. Leighton Clarkson, promoted from the academy at a time when the team is doing good, so you can work well. Diogo Jota, your ideas about his character, your work to research whether there was more apart from what you could see on the pitch helped a good deal. Nico Williams, Curtis Jones, Jake Kane. Never mind the 1-1 score in Denmark. That 11 and the way in which you can see your and all the department's work coming together, but I'm asking you because you're my interview today, the level of satisfaction and encouragement and ability to say to other people, this is why we're doing this, this, look.
I think the advantage of bringing your own players up is that you create a father-son relationship with the club, the player. So they give always a little bit more because it's their own. You can, they never let you down, in my opinion. The best backup, the best investment you can do, the best signing each season should be the academy, in my opinion. But what we mainly did, of course, is we created space in our squad. So, example, instead of going for a second right defender, we put Trent there in that time. Instead of, because he was already in the talent group and all these things. But the most important thing, I always felt that with PSV as well and with Porto, the most important thing, what young players need is hope. Trust from the manager, from Jürgen. So the moment there's a relationship between Jürgen and Trent, the moment there has to be made a decision of bringing a young player up or signing somebody else, it's really important that this relationship is there. That's why we created the talent group. But what I said with hope, I mean, like, the moment Trent comes true, he inspires directly 100 other players in the academy because they see it's possible. And that's one of the biggest strengths of all clubs who bring players through, say Ajax. Cuijf is a funny story because you say Cuijf because he came in when we didn't have a goalkeeper on the 16. So there was always all older goalkeeper playing or a younger one from under 15s coming up. So, but I really believe that the best scouts are the players themselves. So not, no disrespect to the scouting department, but when you played on the street, you knew exactly what was the level of each single player where you're playing with. You knew, you felt, you know, when you know in a team, you know exactly what, ta-da. So I always asked our players when they came back from international duty, who is the best player in your team? And where are they playing? So to new, like, information in the national teams. So I asked Connor Masterson, who is the best player in your team? He said, it's not a player, it's a goalkeeper. Wow. Where is he then? He's trialing it at Villa. He's trialing. So we can still, like, I go to Matt, our academy head scout. And I said, here, watch him. Because he says he's the best player. Get him here on trial. Because I think it was Aston Villa. And I'm not sure, but Connor for sure said then it was Man United who was trying, but I'm not sure. So anyway, but try to get him in and try. And we got him in, so Matt, unbelievable job to get him in. And he trialed, and the rest, he was, of course, he was a very good goalkeeper, you could see already then. So that was not that difficult. But it's an unbelievable story, I think, that how that went.
That was Ringmahon Rangers he was at that you couldn't remember when he was being trialled by Villa. Look, I know it's been talked about a million times, and this isn't drawing out your current skills or your ambitions, but football is also about beauty. I was reporting on the Camp Nou game, I was interviewed by Liverpool TV after that match, and I said this was a game where Liverpool could have won 5-2, 6-2 in Camp Nou easily. It was one of the, it's the strangest result I've been reporting on ever. The 3-0 could have been 4-0, but for Dembélé. And I thought Liverpool would win the return leg. I didn't think that you could keep Messi quiet all night. So 4-0, I didn't imagine, because I thought it might be 4-2. I thought Messi would. The corner. I know the early goal. I know the playing style. I know the noise. I know the decision making. But the corner. If I live to be 1,000, maybe I won't see another better moment than that in football. And you played a small part in that by saying to the ball boys, get the ball back and play quickly. Was it because a simple level, let's have Liverpool playing quickly and never let the pressure go off? Or was it because you or the analysts had already spotted that Barcelona were a little bit dopey at corners? Because you take the snapshot picture and it's not just about Trent and it's not just about Divock or the ball boy. It's about 7 Barcelona players looking in different directions and gone to sleep.
Trent, he has this cheekiness in him, this pure street in him, and he has to keep that, this unpredictability, what makes these decisions. So that's why, that's the most important, that unbelievable. So these things I really like, this cheekiness, this street, this unpredictability, what I just said. I love these characters who try something different, who don't just go with the routine or with the things we said. So anyway, we knew that we needed to have like a high-intensity game against Barcelona. We wanted to press them like they never been pressed before. We wanted to feel them that from the first minute with the stadium that there was no way out of our style. So we already we felt that Bayern München, when we played in the round of 60, against Bayern, the way the ball boys were acting there was unbelievable. So they were behind, they were putting so quick, so active, and they said to our team manager that, yeah, they are trained to do these things. Like, so, okay, cool, all right, that would be very helpful if we can, in decisive moments, have the same. So our analyst made a video about really analyzing, like, what's good and what's not good, blah, blah. We instructed the ball boys before the night, you try to minimize all, like, the possibility that it will not work that night. I felt the days before, it was really difficult days before, because company shoots from 25 meters, now probably more even, against Leicester, because it matters, because the guys were not pressing anymore. This goal, and the day after we play, so, but I really had the feeling that that it was really possible, as long as we played our way, as long as we didn't change, keep our ideas, because of exactly what you said, what happened at Camp Nou, the way we played there. It was the same feeling you got from Dortmund, even when there's 20 or 30 minutes to go, you felt it's possible, as long as we keep stopping counter-attacks, keep defending Messi how we had to defend him, keep all these things. And
the last one, I promise, is this. If I was in Marbella just before the Champions League final and I heard the sound of building and big screens being... This is another gem of a story. How the hell do you work out that Benfica B has a playing style which is similar to Tottenham at a time when you don't know you're going to go through, but we'll plan for the final anyway and we'll bring a team to train with us and work against us, which will be unbelievable.
AZ Alkmaar was ready to do it. AZ Alkmaar. But they pulled back in the last minute because it was Ajax who was in the semi-final, so we could not organize it anymore because it was already planned before that. So they didn't want to have...
And they didn't want to go against Ajax?
I know the coach really well, and I knew because of their tactical flexibility, because they could really represent the style. So then I was thinking about two teams in Portugal. It was Luis Castro's, my... Vitória Guimarães, or it was Benfica B, because Vitor Matos, my assistant at this moment, who's responsible for elite development here at Liverpool, I took him to bring tactical prioritization to bring Porto to me again, because I need this culture with me, and I need him because he's unbelievable talented coach and but good. But he came with watch Porto Benfica B, because they're in the second league, but they play like, okay, good. So I watch, I see, okay, cool, we make contact, and they were open to do So we presented exactly how we thought Tottenham was going to play. We brought them 4 days before to Marbella to train 3 days, Tottenham. And everything was based. So the week leading up to Benfica was exactly the same week I prepared for Tottenham, or we prepared. So the idea was like to have exactly the same logic in each session, in each idea, in each moment of training. The only thing we will reduce timing, so more rest in the week leading up to Batak. And then we end exactly at the same time. We play Benfica on the, Sunday. So, and we warm up in the same way. We do all the... So the players really bought into it, because the way they were in the Marbella locker room before they went out to Benfica, it was a Champions League final. The pre-match was quiet and was... So I really believe in preparation, as you probably understand now a little bit. That's why Sacchi and... Yeah, and Benfica beat it. Renato Paiva, the coach, the Pedro Marques, the academy director, they did an unbelievable job how they came and played that game. And... what they did, because they put their own ideas away. Anyway, that Marbella trip was brilliant because we brought the families in as well. So all the wives and kids from the players and from some of the senior staff were there as well. So we created like this relaxed atmosphere with preparation.
Fantastic, Vici. Then for a Porto man, you've brought Benfica, the closest they've come to lifting European Cups since Bella Gutmann. You've almost taken the curse of Bella Gutmann away forever.
I will tell you one thing. When I signed my first deal, it was 1 year contract with an option for another year, I think. But the second contract was a 3 year deal. It was after, I think, 4 or 5 months, second contract. And he said, I sit there and I was really happy with the money. I'm really happy with the attention. And wow, I was so proud that he gave me a new deal. The only thing what he said, we didn't negotiate. Pep, from now on, this means you cannot work at Benfica. Okay?
And you promised?
Yeah, I promised. Of course, I promised. Yeah, I wanted that deal. Yeah, but if you're Porto, yeah, that's...
Yeah, man. Yeah, never. Yeah, it's the enemy. It's the enemy. Pepijn Linders. Pepijn, I think that's as good as a Scottish guy can get a Dutch accent. Listen, I can't tell you the enjoyment, the endorphin I've got. I've got adrenaline. I could go out, play a game of football right now. Thank you for mentioning Vitor Frade. This wasn't the space to because it's such a complex theory. And keep on, you know, for Liverpool fans, the things you guys are doing makes you heroes. For the rest of us, you're changing our minds. You're teaching us. You're giving us fun. And today you've done that for all the listeners of The Big Interview. Pepijn, thank you so much indeed. Good luck for the rest of the season and keep doing the good work, man.
Top man. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.